Hello everyone, this is Cody from the Rancor's Brothel. Did you know we recently updated rancorsbrothel.com along with our new branding? The updated website includes a detailed archive page, online reviews, a gift shop, and alternate ways to contact the podcast. Check out some favorite old episodes, leave us a review, buy some merch, or drop us a line. All available now at rancorsbrothel.com. Don't wait, check it out today. And if you need dice, check out our friends at metallicdicegames.com. Friends of the podcast can get 10% off any order using the promo code RBP10. Enjoy the show.
Hello, dear listeners. We wanted to give you a slightly different intro to this one before getting to the actual intro of the game. This game comes with a bit of a trigger warning. Needless to say, it is not for children, and comes with a mature content warning. Please be aware that this game contains mature themes including drugs, sex, sex magic, prostitution, sexual murder, and all manner of sexual practices are at least touched on. If this is not your type of game, please feel free to listen to any of our other shows. We completely understand. Thank you for listening.
The Rancor's Brothel presents Berlin, the Wicked City. Part 2, Dances of Vice, Horror, and Ecstasy.
Welcome back. Berlin Part 2.
I love how his voice changes. Have you noticed this? I'm sorry. I'm going to rag
this
on
is my
you
radio
for two
voice.
Seconds. Every time he starts, it's always like normal Lucas, and then it's, hello, welcome to the evening news.
You ever talk to a radio host off the radio? It's a completely different voice.
You've just got go to back have to, a radio
Yeah, but you
voice.
Switch back like 10 seconds in, so it's just like...
Are we going to ignore Emily's impression of an evening newscast? It's like news from hell. And welcome to the news.
I'm your host, Satan.
Lilith.
Last we left off with you guys, I believe it was it summer of 22, somewhere in there?
Summer of 2020.
Yeah. No.
Wait, no. In game.
1920.
In real life, it was summer of 2020.
It really was.
That is
true.
22 is this year.
You're like, hold up.
Oh, wait, we're talking 100 years ago. Okay,
yeah,
never mind.
100
the
years
roaring
ago.
20s.
I'm here. I'm
before together. Podcasting.
Yeah. Happy that I got most of the same group back. It's always fun to have people return, especially with returning characters, for the majority of the part. It's late summer in Berlin, August 7th, 1926. It's been 4 years since you battled the demon Grossman. We have returning with us...
Do you want
that's,
my name?
That's your cue.
Or...
That's your cue.
We've got Adelaide Richter.
Who does what for a living?
Resident alienist.
Friedrich Blumen, an artist who has turned to photography. In the intervening 4 years.
Ah, gotten out of the diorama trade.
Yeah, the alienist is very excited.
It's
He's
more like pastiche, like still diorama, but instead of physical, it's with pictures.
Okay, so it's collages.
Okay.
Yes, that one.
Gotcha.
Okay, yes. That makes sense. And you are going to meet a new character. Her name is Dorothea Sabina Weber. And she goes by Dottie because she is Lottie's twin sister. Bum, bum, bum.
Because Lottie is probably locked up in an insane asylum.
Probably.
Very much so.
She is.
Yeah.
And so Dottie is going to see her sister constantly and try to get her to snap out of her fits of hysteria.
Yeah.
Yeah, hysteria is a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that.
Definitely. I know in game we didn't bother with it because it was at the end of the game.
Yes.
You definitely would have had indefinite insanities on top of indefinite insanities. Like,
yeah, I think I have her sheet here, and she was pretty damn insane.
Up. She was messed up.
So she'd been shot in the face.
Yeah. Which I know is you tough. Gained you gained some of it back for rewards, but that doesn't change the fact that initially you would have had insanities.
Yes, and she was also possessed as well, which did not help with her hysteria. So poor pretty Lottie is not as pretty and she is not okay.
She's
like probably, the rest of us, so it's fine. It's she's fine.
She's possibly she's fine. Strapped to a bed, which she might have been used to.
I feel like she's more catatonic with fits of hysteria.
That's fair.
What I'm going to go with.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. She just kind of gets in line for her blue pills and sits around and stares out a window.
I feel like she has like bits of normalcy and then just goes off the rails for a really long time and then has bits of normalcy again.
So. Oh, yeah. No, she's been in the padded room a lot.
Yep. But yeah, so Dottie is actually, I'm going to say, she is an administrative assistant at a hospital, specifically a pharmacy, which will be very helpful.
Yes.
And I was going to say something else, and now I don't remember.
Administrative assistant for a hospital, pharmaceuticals.
Oh, and she was the one that supplied her sister with prophylactics because her sister was a half silk girl or a 9-to-5 girl.
Which, for those of you at home, is a prostitute.
Only at night.
That kind of game.
Only from 9-to-5.
Yeah.
One of the, I don't remember, is like 20 different types of prostitutes that I have a chart for.
Yes, you do. But Dottie is not one of them. Dottie is not as pretty as her sister. She's still pretty, but she's not as pretty.
Right.
She's just bigger and bulkier. So.
Which, if you missed the trigger warning at the beginning of the game, be prepared. There's a lot of sex and violence in this game. Not for kids. If it's not your thing, don't worry about it. We appreciate you listening to other things.
And if we make a joke, it's because we're uncomfortable and not because we're insensitive. Please keep that in mind.
That is true.
Because we are assholes, but we're not scumbags.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Hey, that is from one of my favorite podcasts, actually. So, Small Town Murder shout out.
Woo! Frederick, I don't know how mail works. I don't know if you have a slot or if you have a thing outside. I don't know how mail works in Berlin in the 1920s.
It's delivered to the building I live in, and my landlady always knocks and wakes me up.
Then that's what you hear. You hear.
It's a good thing the dog is deaf.
Mail call.
Oh my God. What time is it?
7:30 a.m.
Oh my God.
She gets up early.
Untenable.
Rent's due in a week.
I thought this was a mail call.
Sure is. She like slides it. She slides it under your door.
Oh gosh. Okay. I shuffle over and pick up the mail.
You have a reminder that your rent's due in a week, and
She just told me.
She wants you to know.
Oh my God.
Starving artist, you better have money.
You've been late before.
I imagine you're probably in more of a tenement house where it's, like, really cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's probably, like, a two-room... It's probably a studio apartment with a bathroom that might not have a door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need a door.
I beg to differ.
your window just goes to an alley where there's another window across from you. It's sort of Godfather-esque. You could reach across and shake hands with your neighbor, I'm sure.
But I don't.
That would be fun as shit.
He's an ass.
It's, you know, it's your standard mail, but you get an envelope roughly the size of a greeting card. Does not have a return address on it, but it feels slightly thick. The first two handouts of the day. Sorry, I can't meet you. You're on the other side of the table. You open it up and you find two things. Please let us know what you find.
All right. So I can't read this very well, so I'm going to read it second. All right. Air Blumen. This is a note. I do hope that this letter and the enclosed ticket find you well. My name is Albin Grau.
Yes.
A local artist and filmmaker. It has come to my attention that you might also be a dabbler of the arts here in our beautiful Berlin. I wish to extend to you this ticket to tonight's one-night-only show at Die Y-something-Mouse... featuring the elusive Anita Berber. That name sounds familiar.
You know that name.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Miss Berber has not performed in Berlin in many years, you know, and this must be a show for the ages. I do hope to see you there, and you may find... It's misspelled. I take note of the misspelling.
That's my fault. I wrote it.
I'm judging this person deeply. You may find me at the frontmost table nearest the stage. P.S. Ball masks are optional. Come as you wish. Albin Grau. And there is a nice red ticket on a thicker parchment. It says, Die Weeby Mouse.
It's Weiss.
Weiss Mouse.
That is the German spelling where they connect letters together.
I thought it was an anime fan.
Sort of like
fan.
Strauss Weeb. Or...
Anita Berber in Dances of Vice, Horror, and Ecstasy. How did they know?
Your favorite things.
Admit one only, just me.
And it also has the date, which is today's date.
Yes. And Anita Berber is that performer lady who I almost banged in the last session.
Yeah.
Coked up woman. Lottie sat down and had drinks with her. I feel like Erwin went with her, but I don't recall.
I feel like Lottie felt her up at some point, too.
She probably was definitely rubbing on you. She was a
that's
very
right. That's what it was.
Exotic woman. I don't remember if she performed naked, but possibly topless. And she had a monkey with her.
That's right. It's all becoming so clear.
I believe she put the monkey on one of your guys' shoulders. I can't remember whose it was. That might have been Erwin.
I feel like Erwin and the monkey.
She found her intent was to find like the most uncomfortable person and put the monkey on their shoulder. And
that was
probably
that was
Tyler's character.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, well, this is exciting. I now have plans.
That you don't want to go to.
Each of you will also receive the same letter and ticket.
Yay!
Woo!
Probably for slightly different reasons. Obviously, neither of you are artists. So it may say something to the effect of that you know Frederick, or you have been cited at art galleries and, you know, somehow he's gotten your name. It, somehow the letter will formulate to your characters.
Okay, fair.
The name Albin Grau, ring a bell at all?
Knowledge, roll it.
Can we all roll since we all got the same letter?
Sure.
Is that int?
I don't have a sheet in front of me. It's a no roll, so I believe it is Ent.
Okay. Yes.
Wait, how do we do it?
Also, if you have...
against your intelligence. So trying to roll below your intelligence.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I did it as well.
I got 27, you all, so yeah.
You all realize then that Albin Grau is a failed movie executive. You know that... He was with a company called Prana Films, P-R-A-N-A, that produced a 1922 flop entitled Nosferatu.
What year?
1922. And this is a historical character. This is actually the guy who worked on Nosferatu, because they do some research for this
That's
game.
That's awesome. Dude, Nosferatu fucking slaps. That movie is so
Back
good.
Back then, apparently it didn't.
So good.
It's so wild.
I haven't seen the original in such a long time. I couldn't. It's been
it's
a long
so
time.
It's so great to just put on.
I wanted to watch it.
He was
before
a failed what? Sorry.
Movie executive. He was a producer.
No, and that's fine. I just couldn't remember. I was like, was he the director? I didn't remember what you said. I was half paying attention. I'm sorry. And Device Mouse is the white mouse.
Yes. that would translate to the white mouse, which is a club in town.
Nice.
And that letter at the end, the B, is an asset.
Yeah.
It is two S's together.
Oh.
It's the same way they write Strauss for most things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Just
why. I have a little bit of German knowledge.
Somewhere on your map towards the center there, a blue number 10 is where the white mouse is located, I believe.
Ah, that's like right in the center.
Hell yeah.
So you would know where the white mouse is.
Yes.
So I suppose I would go about my day just kind of preparing for that.
Sure.
It said ball masks are optional.
Yeah.
So like it's like a masquerade?
Yeah, masquerade. Or some type of similar mask. It doesn't have to be like extravagant. Like most people back then, it would probably just have been like a black mask. Hmm. even. But yeah, if you had something more excitable, no big deal. So those are optional.
Cobble together a mask.
I feel like yours would be extravagant for some reason because you're arty.
Yes, it's going to be like pastiche, but in the style of a cat. Okay. Because I think it's funny that I'm going to the White Mouse as a cat.
So it looks like old lady cat glasses. But
I'm not going to lie, that is funny.
I got you.
That's clever.
And I have my newest treat, which is my Leica camera, which was produced in 1925 in Germany. Watched a video this afternoon.
Yeah, he did research 2 hours ago.
Leica makes the best microscopes. Ooh, so 100%.
The company still exists.
Interesting.
Yes, yes they do. And their microscopes are amazing.
Shout out to Clyde Barker with the Charlotte County Historical Society. Did a little video I watched. He's old as dirt, but he knows his cameras.
Is he the one you yelled at to make a point?
Yeah, he rambled for a while. It was a 30-minute video, and there was like 10 seconds where... You mentioned something useful, but shout outs. Sponsorship, Clyde.
Yeah.
This old man Clyde who
also
knows
take
about
a Leica
cameras.
Sponsorship?
Yeah.
Right. Leica, I would absolutely.
I'll take a free microscope,
I would love an inversion microscope, please, if you ever just want to get one.
Shout out.
That would be amazing.
We want
Thank you.
Inversion microscope.
Exactly.
I do.
We'll do a commercial for it.
They're amazing.
I don't know. Just trying to get free.
And I haven't been out in a while, so I would have to oil up the penny farthing as well.
Ah, you still got the penny farthing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh,
yeah. I couldn't remember again if that was you or Tyler.
That was him. But Tyler somehow knew the name of that obnoxious
bike.
Yes,
he did.
Made my life.
It's good shit.
Tyler was the watch guy that Lottie was like really infatuated with because he wanted nothing to do with her.
Except for the PI that visited you often. That Schroeder played for one episode.
Yeah, Schroeder was in it.
Yeah, he was there for our first session.
Schroeder was what I feel like Schroeder's character was the guy that pays people to cuddle with him.
Probably.
Which no shade. No shade. I just feel like that was the direction that I was gonna take Schroeder's character.
That is a vibe. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Like he really loved Lottie, but Lottie was like, meh.
So the show is actually at midnight, which I don't believe I put on there. I apologize.
It's far too late.
That's fair.
Did Dottie get it or did Lottie get it?
Interesting.
It would have gone to you because you've been around for the past couple of years. So okay. It would have been to Dottie. Like I said, it just... However it makes sense for the game.
No, and that's fine. I just was curious because they are twin sisters.
Sure.
So, you could potentially mistake them.
That's fair. Except they don't look alike.
They are identical, but they're not identical. Like, Dottie is bigger.
Right.
And just not quite as pretty as Lottie.
Gotcha.
I mean, Lottie and Dottie are probably very similar now that Lottie has a giant scar on her face.
That's also fair.
Yeah.
It is off. The club is off of Jägerstrauss. And Frederick Strauss.
Strauss means street.
It's my street. That.
Thank you.
So however you would like to get there is up to you. You can take the U-Bahn. You can walk. You can ride. It is a bit of a drizzly evening as it gets on into the lateness of the hour. How are you getting there?
The train or tram or whatever it was.
Okay.
Because Dottie lives a little further away from the middle of the city.
Very, very fair.
Is there like, I'm sorry, I should have looked at the map before. Is there like a like a municipal district, like where the courthouse would be and stuff?
Sorry.
Her father is the judge and she does still live with him. So she would probably live in that area.
Okay.
And
so just
would
north of where you
likely
need.
Are taxis a thing? Can I take a taxi? Hire a car?
Yeah, I mean, there would be some type of, I'm sure some sort of taxi service would exist.
I'm sure your father has enough money that he has a private driver.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
That might also be feasible.
Yeah.
Either way, vehicle.
Daddy got money.
Yes.
Yeah. Her daddy duty got money.
And you're right in your penny farthing.
Rolling on the farthing.
In the rain?
With a little umbrella.
It's just drizzly. He's got an umbrella hat.
My God. Penny farthing with an umbrella. I can't stand. the visual.
You're up high enough. You can't. You're not gonna get
splashed. By the way, Dottie stole some of Lottie's clothes to go.
All right.
Okay, that's fair.
Because why would she have something fancy?
I mean, the two of you would know each other probably in passing from the hospital. You probably would have met and spoken about Lottie, I'm sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So over the course of 4 years, you've gotten to know each other.
Yes.
However, you each sort of just show up to the same place. Let's see. In 1926, the great inflation is rapidly fading memory. Currency is once again sort of stable. You would notice that there is a bit of rise of, they're calling them Nazis here.
This is a very interesting time to be an alienist, by the way.
It's an interesting time to be alive in general, but yeah. You would notice pretty rampantly and pretty often groups of drunken revelers just staggering along arm in arm, laughing like hyenas. As you ride by in your penny farthing, Frederick, you hear some random voice yell from a window above, "Hey, you want to come see an amputee sex show?"
"I have an appointment."
I don't remember Frederick being so awkward the first playthrough.
I can't remember.
He was pretty quiet, if I remember correctly.
If you glance up to see who's yelling at you, it's actually a young boy.
Oh, no. I speed off in my farthing.
You hear chip. Police whistles and shouting and gunfire coming from somewhere nearby. Maybe only a block or two over from where you're at. And every night, about every 5 minutes or so, you see a pale beam swinging over the rooftops. It is the signal for the brand new Funkturm, which is the radio tower. It's located out at the city's extreme western end, which would be, I think, that's closer to your hospital, if I'm not mistaken.
I know he said pale beam, but I heard pale bean.
I did too.
What horrid!
I wrote bean too, and then I was like, no, he said beam.
That's kind of what the city looks like right now. And the rise of like neon is massive. You, especially in the wet streets, the ambient glow of neon from all corners. And eventually you see the neon sign to the White Mouse. And a small line of people beginning to enter. Is everyone masked or is it just you?
I would be masked, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Lottie would have owned a mask.
Yeah.
It's probably a little tattered and dusty, but yeah.
I would assume it would have been more of a ball gag, but...
No. No.
A full leather mask with just a zipper.
Right? No, no.
She's not a gimp.
I'm
not,
here for the ball.
That kind.
She was a dominatrix, remember?
I suppose you guys might recognize each other. I'm not sure how often you kept in touch. I mean, I guess you would have because...
Well, I was your...
Alienist.
Alienist for a while. I mean, we didn't discuss this, but would you... We have kept up having, like, a professional relationship?
I would say you... We did for a while, but it's probably been 2 years since I've showed up to an appointment.
Okay. Okay. So you blew me off.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd see his penny farthing and be like... I know that guy.
ring. It's the only penny farthing in Berlin.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet he chains it to a sign, too.
I bet his, like, looks distinctive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
It's the one with the ball card in the...
It's not a ball card. It's one of his dumb collages. Yeah.
A diorama's, like, on
It's a picture
all
of the penny farthing.
It has a mount for his
camera. It's the first selfie ever taken.
It's very meta.
It's the first selfie ever taken.
Oh my God. And then Dottie and I would have, because Adelaide obviously would have visited Lottie in that asylum. One, because they became friends and, you know, she had a terribly traumatic accident. But two, because it would have been very interesting to study her and learn from what she was going through. So
I wouldn't call it an accident, but it happened.
That's fair.
Von Killinger put a gun to her throat.
A terrible, terrible, tragic
it was,
event.
It was, I feel like though Adelaide would have hit it as an accident.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the group would have been like so open about what happened.
You wouldn't even remember what happened. You were not in control of your
body. But Dottie would have been told that like this guy hired her sister and went crazy. Right?
Well, he didn't hire her. The prince hired her.
Well, somebody hired her sister and an accident happened.
Right. What she's trying to say is that Dottie wouldn't have full knowledge of what her sister was doing at the time that she was shot, that she was under the impression that she was with a client versus investigating.
Which makes things even more crazy when her sister goes off the rails in her hysteria, because I'm sure she's talking about all the shit she saw.
Yeah, which is why she's in an asylum.
Which like, is makes
demons don't exist.
Dottie's like, you are insane, my dear. When really she's just spouting the truth.
And Adelaide's like,
there may have been criminal charges against her for breaking into the zoo.
Exactly, exactly. So
that was fun.
I forgot about the zoo.
Yeah,
I am. I'm a little sad that the cassowaries were so grievously portrayed as mindless killers. They are scary. Yeah.
That's cassowaries scary. They're freaking modern day dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we don't have to talk about cassowaries.
But it's so fun.
Again.
If you would like us to talk about cassowaries, please comment.
Emily and I could have a cassowary podcast.
We will have an animal podcast.
You would know that the White Mouse is one of the hottest cabarets in the city at this point. Although I do want to point out that this is artistic license by the author, because the White Mouse closed in 1922.
Oh.
No.
Yeah. You pass into a cramped lobby. There is a hat check girl sitting at a small cubicle just off to the right.
I hand her my hat.
She is probably French inhaling the smoke from her cigarette.
For those of you that don't know what that means.
Foley work.
The room is very smoky and probably uncomfortably warm. There is just so much ruckus and laughter. You can barely hear yourself think, let alone anyone in your little group of three now that you've all met up. What would you like to do from here? I mean, you're kind of in the entryway. Like, where do you want to go?
So the invite did say that he would be at the front table.
Indeed.
I mean, after the events of 1922, Adelaide is a little, like, hesitant about just following an invitation she got blindly because of, you know, what happened the first time. So I think she would, like, make her way towards the front of the room, but stay towards the edges to kind of scope out, like, what might be going on and who's at that table and get some info.
If you seek out that specific table, there's just one person sitting there, just a gentleman sitting there. Probably has a half-empty drink already in hand.
Okay. Are there, like, other empty chairs around him, or...?
Yeah. There would be a few empty chairs around him. There are also just... I mean, there's just a ton of people in here. Trying to squeeze in there, you would actually almost be blocked in, but, you know, you could salmon your way through, if you will.
That's a good imagery.
Yeah.
I like to think I can write.
This is a fire hazard.
What? What is?
The room that we're in. I am transported to another world here. Thank you.
And yet you are still... where are you?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little sweaty. Like, that makes me really uncomfortable, if we were that close.
Front door's open.
No.
Like, in the fiction.
In my brain, it makes me sweat. Yeah. There's too many people around me. Get away from me.
There's a woman that's wearing a sequin fringed black and silver dress. She wears a large, shallow wicker bowl containing two rows of domino masks that she's handing out if anyone wants one. You guys came with your own masks, so you may not need them. There is one row of black and one row of white. And you can hear her talking to people and just saying, if you prefer anonymity, ladies and gentlemen, you may And she's just handing them out.
But everybody's already seen you.
Yes, but it's also a cramped kind of dark room.
That's fair.
Very, like I said, it's smoky. It's hazy in here. Like, you probably can't even see the other wall because it's
my
that allergy,
my eyes itch just thinking about that.
Seriously.
When you enter the main show area, you see most of the audience has chosen to conceal their identities, but not all. There are 12 dinner tables arranged around the room, seating close to 60 people total. There are definitely more than 60 people in this building. Your table is up close to the curtain. You see a man sitting there. He's not wearing a mask. This is what you get for making props at the last minute.
Uh-oh.
He would have told you he is wearing a red carnation in his lapel. That is who you see. That is Alvin Brown. So that you would be able to pick him out. I knew there was a thing to pick him out, and I forgot what it was. I just didn't put it on the prop. Because the letter doesn't exist either. I just wrote it. It just literally just says
hence
you get
the
a letter and a ticket.
Grammatical errors.
So you can definitely pick out that is Alvin. He's the only one wearing a red carnation in the room. As you sort of pick your way through the crowd, you see that other attendees comprise a very interesting mix of people. You sort of edge around a surplus of elderly and aging gentlemen, the masks sort of sitting uneasily on their bony faces. Over on one other side, sits a group of sweaty salesmen that you can tell they're out for the night in the town, with a local company rep. Their disguises do very little to hide their lascivious inebriation. Damn, that's a word. Lascivious inebriation.
That's a great word.
Dottie would not, but the other two of you. Is that Von Killinger?
Oh, shit.
Uh oh. Is he wearing a mask?
He's not.
Oh.
Is he with the sales folk?
He's not. He's at a different table with a group of other gentlemen. This time, he's still wearing military-style garb, but this is a little different than it was before.
Didn't he die?
No, he did not. Mm-mm. He's the one who shot
him. Oh, that's right. Bastard.
He's in a parliamentary uniform.
God, I hope Dottie gives him a heart attack. She looks kind of like her sister.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Especially wearing a mask.
Says here that it's different than his Sportvarian Olympia outfit. It is instead the uniform of... Actually, I don't know that you would know that. Shit. Give me a knowledge roll.
We do a knowledge roll.
Give me a knowledge roll at hard.
Those two? Oh. Huh? Dottie doesn't know this.
Yeah,
guy.
You would know.
Oh, I got critical.
Okay. Then you know, for some odd reason, you know that it is the Bund Viking.
Hey!
Which is the Viking League.
The Bund Viking.
It's a political organization that was found in 23 that brought together outlawed organization council, which was one that he worked with, and among other groups. Again, it is sort of essentially a pseudo-Nazi style socialist party.
And he's wearing some kind of insignia?
Yes. You would also note that he is sitting with, like I said, he's sitting with other fellow Viking compatriots, as they call them here. And each one is seated next to a sort of tomboy-looking teenage girl.
Love that.
That is one of the types of prostitutes in this game called a newt, N-U-T-T-E.
Ew.
So, like, that's probably the... one person aside from Growl that kind of stands out at least to the two of you.
Okay.
Everyone else is sort of just general occupants of the city. No one spectacular that you would know.
Hold on.
Would you like to do anything else before you sit down with Alvin Grew?
Oh, yes. Okay. Growl. So now that the description is over, I'm going to do some weird shit.
Oh, okay. Great.
So as I come in, I notice this French woman smoking. I give her my top hat and my overcoat. It's damp with the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask her in French, because I speak un poco French.
Oh my God.
If I could take her picture. And hold up the Leica camera.
She looks at you for a moment and asks what you said in German.
Oh, I say, sorry, I... Would you mind if I took your photograph?
She said, okay. Here?
Yeah, right now. And as she's talking, like, and asking me and gesturing, I have the little button held down.
Yeah, how does this camera work?
So I watched another video, and I think it's basically like it's more modern than it seems for, mm-hmm. like, 1925. So it's 35mm roll film.
Okay.
Developed basically like we develop it, mm-hmm. And then pretty quick exposure. So my thought is I could, like, you just snap it. It snaps the photo. I'm leaving it open because my whole thing right now is trying to capture the physicality of time. And okay. So I'm leaving it open so it kind of blurs and shows movement. And then I let it.
You're also going to get a lot of haze anyway because of the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. All right. Thank you.
She poses. You could take a photo. Is there a flash on that?
No, there wouldn't be.
Okay. So it would be very dark image anyway then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I wander off or wander in. So Friedrich, after, because I'm guessing, you know, the fallout of what happened in 22 was something that, you know, we talked about in my Adelaide, mm-hmm. and I worked through. But since, I have done quite a bit of work to try to repress all of that. And so I
always a wise a idea.
I didn't recognize the name. What's her name? Anita Berber. That didn't really register. So seeing von Killinger is going to bring some stuff back.
Yeah. So you would be, there would be no reason why you wouldn't get slightly agitated at seeing this individual.
Yeah.
Not that you hated the guy, but it's definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Friedrich has also started to dabble a little bit more in the Communist Party.
Okay.
And so he would, like, the fascist undertone of his organization would not sit well with old Friedrich. So
okay.
He would give that table a wide berth and probably roll up pretty quickly to the table with the gentleman.
Okay. Do you sit then after this, or do you?
I would. I would sit. Don't say anything.
Ah, Hel Blumen. Nice to meet you. Alban Grau.
I shake his hand, but don't make eye contact.
No, that's fine.
Dottie would jump in because she has to be personable and be like, hi, and then explain who she is and talk to him and be very cordial with small talk.
Okay.
Because that's Dottie. Opposite of Emily.
What's your character's last name? I apologize.
Richter.
Richter. And then he would kind of give a curt bow. Ms. Richter. You know, he would actually pull the chairs out for the woman as well.
A gentleman.
Daddy is very not used to that.
So wonderful for you all to arrive. I sent a couple of other tickets out, but I'm afraid our other guests may not make it.
And I feel like Erwin would have been.
He probably would have sent one to Erwin. Erwin. Yeah, he will make small talk with everyone about the. You know, he apologizes for if it was awkward to send the letter and everything. He really was hoping to garner a small group of people who maybe have had interactions with Berber before. Why he would know that, you wouldn't know. Or just be interested in arts in general, whether personally or vicariously through someone who was an artist.
I have done a lot of therapy for a lot of artists.
Oh, yes. It's very interesting. What sort of therapy?
Very interesting.
Do they simply talk to you? Do you allow them to do art as part of therapy?
In some cases, yes. In some cases, the art is very strange, so we tend to stay away from that during sessions. But I do find that art is an interesting conduit for behaviors and the like. Expression.
I knew the word you were looking for. I was like, I'll get it for you.
You see a waitress who is clearly like one of far too many few in the area, in the building, comes up with empty glasses asking if you want anything to drink so she can take your order. Anything to drink?
Just water.
Certainly. Growl will probably order some sort of
some sort of whiskey or something.
Dottie would probably get like tea with lemon.
Champagne.
Ooh, you're fancy. Again, homely little AA.
I know.
she'll ask if it's all separate checks, and Growl will say, no, all on me.
Well, in that case, I order
beer.
Something.
A citrus rescue from New Belgium.
Would be a good.
Like an Aperol Spritz or something?
A good German cocktail.
Beer.
Yeah. Beer.
Jägermeister? I don't know if that. Oh, I'm sure it was there. I'm sure it was there.
Okay, hold on. We're going to Google this. Hold on.
The most expensive
1920
cocktail.
1920 German cocktail. I doubt this will come up with anything, but we'll look.
I did some research on 1920s psychology. It was interesting.
Normally, in the 1920s, gin was very...
Ooh.
That makes a lot of sense.
Gin and tonic.
And German cocktails, there's the Radler, which is a beer-based cocktail from Bavaria. Ooh. Berlin beer mixed drink, which we're in Berlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That one.
Yeah. I want the most expensive liquor in a beer.
That's probably based. Something, yeah. Yeah. I mean, no problem. He'll pay for whatever you order.
I don't know if that was available in the 1920s, but... It's saying it's a very popular. It's a Berliner Weiss. I love Berliner Weiss.
So you said you already rolled to kind of recognize Berber. Okay, so then the two ladies, would you please roll me a knowledge roll?
Wait, I recognize Von Killinger's insignia.
The insignia actually is different because it's a different company he's with.
Oh, okay.
But you would recognize his face for
knowledge
sure.
Knowledge is what? Int, right?
Yes. Which if we're doing that wrong, we'll fix it later.
I did it.
Under.
You guys recall, he probably goes into a diatribe about Berber and her performances and might bring up some recollection of, the day with the monkey 4 years ago where you guys were actually there watching it. And you may even speak to him about that day and, how interesting that is. And he talks about how... she was working abroad, and you two vaguely remember reading something in the paper that she was working abroad, and there was this scandalous turn in Yugoslavia where she was arrested for briefly imprisoned on charges of possibly being a German spy after insulting the country's young king, Peter II. Those of you who saw her live to begin with know that she's a very eccentric woman and would have no problem just talking about whatever the fuck she wants to say. Coke, I'm sure, didn't help, but
sure.
She's definitely on it.
There was a Yugoslavian prince?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peter II. More reports maintain that she and the king may or may not have had an affair.
Oh, the king?
My God. However, as you guys are getting your drinks handed to you, everything goes dark. And everyone kind of gets silent, low murmurs, as the curtain opens a little bit and a man walks out. It's the man that runs the club. Thank you for listening. Berlin, the Wicked City was written by David Larkins with Mike Mason and Lynn Hardy. You can find us online at rancorsbrothel.com. Facebook at Fans of the Rancor's Brothel, and Twitter at Rancor's _Brothel.